everyone, welcome again to Heart. It's a strong privilege to serve the living God. The Lord our God is true. He loves us. He cares about every part of our lives. And He came with healing in His wings. As we receive God's word in our hearts, we believe it, we receive it, we speak it and act on it. Then the Lord is able to help us do greater things. He's able to help us live. He's able to help us judge situations. And He's able to cause us to do living things, things that will take us forward and not backwards. He's able to help us multiply in the wisdom of God. He's able to help us multiply in life. He's able to help us persuade the world, people of the world, that there is a greater way. And as we multiply in life, our life grows from glory to glory. We're able to honor God and speak His word. His word is life, whether it's spoken by us or anyone else. And when we speak His word, and when we take Him at His word, that's the way we honor God. And as we honor Him, people know it. When people shun the things of God, they see something to shun, or they hear something in order to run the other way. People see us plainly. The things that we do, the choices we make, they are obvious. They're not done in a corner. Salvation wasn't done in secret. All the living ways of God are done on purpose and according to the perfect will of God. Through the wisdom of God, we help people see Him. They get a chance to see the Lord in truth, and not according to the limited view of cold religion. Cold religion presents God in the negative. Cold religion suggests that you can't trust God. Cold religion puts God in the vast distance, as if He's not with us. Jesus' name is Emmanuel. One of His names is Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And He truly is with us. God is in real time with us. When you believe on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's not a moment after that that He's not with you. He is with you. Wherever you go, He's with you. And if we don't leave the kingdom of God, He's with us. And when we repent, He is swift to forgive us. He wants us with Him. He wants to be with us. He desires our company. And He loves fellowshipping with mankind. He loves us. Everything of God is by love. And He's given us great victory because of the great love that He has towards us. All the wonderful blessings that God richly gives us, He wants us to enjoy life. If He didn't want us to enjoy life, He wouldn't have made it possible for us to enjoy life. He put everything in motion. Now, we're made in His image, and God is progressive, so He made us to be, it's His will that we're progressive. But it's up to us whether we're progressive or not. The Lord is not like people. He may desire things for you, but He don't make you choose. He doesn't interfere with how you choose life. The way you value life and the way you choose to do things is totally up to you and your will. Now, the enemy is not like God. fact, he's the opposite. He'll come and try to persuade you wrong, give you bad information that takes away the heart. The Lord helps, all of God's speech, whatever he say to you, is to help you make good, rich choices that will help establish and build up your heart. But the works of Satan comes to take away your heart. God comes to give you life and that more abundantly. In other words, if you have a dream to do something, if you have desires to go forward, he came to give it to you as much as you want. He came to help you enhance your life, make it better, become better. If you're bearing fruit, he'll purge you so that you'll bear more fruit. Now that nothing he does is without your will. All the great and wonderful things that God does on your behalf, you know, when he's doing his part, it's to enhance you, not to steal from you, not to take away something. It's to help you to grow in greater ways, in much greater ways, in multiplied ways. That's just his will. All of his handiwork is to give you life and that more abundantly. All right, you're bearing fruit, and you desire to bear fruit. You desire to do the will of God. When he comes around, anything that's a hindrance to you, he'll point it out so that you can do greater things. When you study the Word of God, the Holy Spirit may guide you to the part that will make you aware of something so that you can do even better. If there's something that's hindering you, the Holy Spirit will guide you and show it to you so that you can do something about it, so that you can do even greater. But sometimes people, what cold religion wants us to, desires for us to believe is a lie. The enemy wants you to think that God don't want you to have something. How can you trust God if you think in your mind that he doesn't want you to have something, if he's trying to take something from you? And that's not Jesus plainly put it the way it really is. He said, Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He said, I come that you might have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Now let's say a man has a dream of doing something that's going to be positive and a blessing to society. Satan will come with his negative advice and cold religion to ice down the fire of God's word, to make him believe that it's impossible, and then he'll say it's not even God's will that you do that. And cold religion will get jealous and say, well, that won't work. We don't do it that way. And it'll give you all the anti-scriptural reasons why to do it the way that they see fit to do it. And then, if you go along with it, you'll read into the Word of God how the Pharisees read into the Word of God that they were better than everybody else. See, you can read a lie into the Word of God, and if your heart is hard enough, you won't receive the information you need to receive the revelation that is truly giving you. But if anybody that's truly hungry and desire the knowledge of God, and they studied the Word of God, the Word of God is designed to minister to them, because God see that their heart is not antichrist, and they really want to know the truth, so the Holy Spirit can give them information. But some people, they keep reading their will into the Word of God, or reading cold religion into the Word of God. However people are trained and if that's what they want to see, their training and their love for that training, whatever it is, if it's not according to scripture, they'll keep reading that into the Word of God. And then when the scriptures say the same scriptures that would help you understand things in a greater way, they start avoiding them. Now, if you're a man of God or a woman of God and you avoid certain scriptures and certain books because your views are not the same, then that's a red flag. It's a red flag. Now, when I was coming up, I grew up Methodist, and I love the Methodist church and the people there. But when I read the book of Acts and all the wonderful things that people did by the Holy Spirit, I wanted to know God that way. And when I asked about it, people said, oh, that went out with the apostles. Well, it don't take all that. And they kind of shunned it. They didn't read from the book of Acts too often. And they read into it belief systems. And these are good people. They're not evil. Anybody can do this. Anybody can read the word wrong and receive it wrong and believe it wrong. But to get the pure meaning, the root meaning of the word of God, the intended translation, I call it the spirit of the word, the true meaning, what the Holy Spirit meant, what he's saying. I've heard preachers twist things around with Greek and Hebrew and make it say what they want to say or how they were trained to see it. But when you receive so much of the word of God, a lot just won't hold up. It's not the same. You can't be tricked so quickly. And when people teach cold religion, it's just a red flag. Because when you study the love of God and the word of God and the things Jesus did, that becomes your new vision. And we learn in stages, see. If what we read, the word that we read and study, that's an introduction. When we receive it in our heart, it forms faith for that revelation. Then when we speak it in our lives on purpose and act on it, then we learn greater things. All right, when our faith is finished, when we're faithful with the duration of time, whatever we're believing God for, we do our part, God does his part. That's the duration. Before our faith is finished. The last few broadcasts, we talked about how that's the duration. Now, because faith is real, it becomes finished. And finished faith is what I call knowledge. Once it happened, it happened. The castle's gone. You're off your sick bed. You're back to work. You can testify about what God did for you. That's finished faith. Now, if something else happens or whatever's next, you can trust God because he has rapport with you. You acted on his word and it worked. You were faithful and he backed you up. That's why whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. The sick man loose healing, and he put a stop to the works of Satan. So he restricted or bound up the works of Satan, and he loosed healing in his life. He acted on the word. He received it. He went to the elders. They prayed for him, or he spoke the word, and he received healing. So his faith becomes finished. And now he has what I call new vision. He can see himself winning because he knows that if he's continually faithful, he'll have what the word of God says he can have. He has new vision. At first, he had vision because the word continually and steadily gave him vision and training and hope towards what he was after. And he believed by faith. See, hope is for the future. Faith is now. He had hope because it's real. He got healing because he was in faith. Faith is always current and present towards the future. It always is consistently believing God's word. And once it's finished, he has new vision. And because he has new vision, Satan, he's not going to be so easily deceived in that area of his life. So if there's any other weakness, the enemy is going to definitely try to capitalize on it. That's why we have to kill our weaknesses. We have to grow in the word wherever we're weak. Jesus said, occupy till I return, till I come, which he's about to come now. But we still need to, instead of, don't shut down and wait on him to come from the sky. He'll meet us in the air. Let him catch you doing what you're supposed to be doing. Right now, I understand that Jesus might come before the week's out. I know that. But I have plans and I have goals that I'm going to perform and do. And I'm still making plans for that. I have to live on this earth. I still have plans for my business. I have plans for my house. I have plans for my ministry. And these are things that I just want to have done. Besides the work of the ministry, which I do. But he may come before I finish. That's fine. But I'm going to do things according to what God gives me to do. For instance, I'm going to buy a new toolbox. I need a toolbox to be better organized. And I understand that Jesus may return before I purchase it and open it up. But I'm going to do it anyway. Because it might take longer than the day. I'm not going to shut down because Jesus is about to return. I got things I want to do for my house. There are things I want to fix. There's things I want to make better. And I'm going to continue to do the broadcast and all the things that God wants me to do in ministry and the things I need to do personally. I have goals for every area of my life. Pastor just got through talking about goal setting. And he said the theme of this year is think big. The Lord said his return is imminent. But remember, imminent to us is any day now. Imminent to him is any day now. But a day to God is 1,000 years. So an imminent return could be days, it could be weeks, it could be months. And possibly a year. But I don't believe it's very long. I'm looking for him any day now. But our work is under God. We receive new vision as we operate according to our faith. Faith always looks to God. So when we're in faith, that's what we're doing. And when you see him, you receive knowledge from his word. You govern your life according to the spirit of the word, his intended meaning of the word of God. And you don't slow down. You don't have to. And you live in victory because God lives in victory. Whatever Jesus did, you do. Whatever the Father says you can do, do it. Be faithful. Be the will of God in your own life. And don't never let cold religion speak into your life. When people govern their lives by misinterpretations of the word, that's what I call cold religion. Cold religion is just like when the man was laid out because in Jesus' parable, a man fell among thieves and he was on the ground hurting. And a priest walked by. And a prophet walked by. They looked at him and kept going. Cold religion. They didn't help him. They didn't bandage him up. They left him wounded and half dead. But the Samaritan came and took him where he could have care and paid the bill. Now that's the hot church. That's what God would do. That's the living way. Cold religion leave people in the cold. They leave people destitute and despondent. Cold religion is not of God. It's not God's will or his way. It's just a death trap. That's all cold religion is, and that's all it ever will be. It's important to take God at His word and see what He's saying, because He has so much knowledge to give us all. We need to be learning His word. We need to be doing things of God. We need to be contributing to life, because God is good, folks. And He has so much to say. And there's so much that He can help us accomplish in this short amount of time that we truly have. Because the Lord loves us and He's going to help us and help us to go forward, we need to be looking at Him and governing our lives according to His word. As He is, so are we in this world. We operate with us, we're supposed to operate just like God. We're supposed to be doing the living things. We're supposed to be mighty in Him. We should be just like Him. And we should govern our lives according to the living Word of God. Everywhere we go, and all that we do in life, we should do to the glory of God. We have a right to live, a right to be blessed. The struggle of cold religion, and you know, that cold religion is what rebellious people desire. They desire God on their terms instead of taking God at His word. Now, if he designed us to operate like Him, our lives is better off if we do. And Satan knows this. So Satan makes Satan is illusional. He is an illusional loser. He failed because of illusion. He operates because of illusion. Everything about his system is illusional. He show you a lie, and he give you false promises and false hope, false prosperity, false understanding. And his ways is full of witchcraft, because it's full of rebellion. And cold religion is his antidote to Christianity. See, Christianity is effective. Cold religion is the cancer to it. It's an alternative way with a religious mask on it. It looks good, but it's false. It's not hard ground. It's dry dust over quicksand. Illusional, just like he is. A liar. Father of lies. Father of illusion. But the wisdom of God is greater. Satan didn't know that God would make a man that was weaker and shorter and less knowledgeable than him, and then gave him the ability that God gave men. We can prosper like God. We can learn like God. We can think like God. We can go forward like God. We can overcome like God. Though we started out with a whole lot less than angels did. See, angels are far wiser. They learn faster. Their minds and their brains retain things quicker. Now, we can do great things too. But they are ahead of us, because they're older and they understand more. We have to learn from the time we were born. We start learning. From the time we were first conceived, we start learning. But what it takes us a lifetime to learn, they knew it thousands of years ago. But they can't stop our will to know God. And as we grow in Him, we operate like God. God is the one who made the angels, and He gave them knowledge. We have to decide to learn. That's why we have to decide to grow. We have to decide to go forward. We have to decide to live in victory. We have to decide to not be defeated. But core religion says God will do it if he wants you to have it. Core religion says God will give you what he wants you to have. Core religion says God will limit you if he feels like it. Core religion says if God didn't give it to you, you don't need it. Core religion says you're wrong for asking. Core religion says God wants you to suffer for him. I've heard all these lies all my life. Not all my life, but after I became a Christian, I heard core religion in places I didn't expect to hear it. But people who stay in the love of God, they preach differently, they operate differently, and they think differently. And their sincerity attracts sincerity. Those who are sincere, if you study the word and you sincerely want to know God, you will learn him. But if you love the world somewhere, you're going to try to, that love for the world is going to cause problems, and you're not going to learn like you should. You'll be looking for things in the word that's not there. But when you allow the word to say what it's saying, you can receive from the Lord. You have to. That's the way the word of God is designed. It's not written under the suggestion of any cold religion. As we get to know the Lord, we're going to find him to be very considerate. He's not like the persuasion of the world system. Too many people are missing out on God's best because they trust God according to the worldly view. The enemy is not going to tell the truth about him. You have to understand that the enemy will not say anything that will benefit God. He has turned. He's not coming back. He did it in his heart. He did it on purpose. He meant to do wrong. But a persuasion can last for generations. The way people are persuaded is the way that they'll live. It's almost safe to say that most people won't challenge what they've learned. If they ever receive something as the truth, the only people that come out of the deception are those who love the truth of God's word. They break through the negative. There are people who lived in adverse conditions. They had everything against them. Their father may have died at a younger age. Their mother may have been on drugs. They were surrounded by forms of poverty, not only money poverty, but knowledge poverty and wisdom poverty. And they had no chance. But somebody would tell them about Jesus. And they believed on Jesus. And they were wise enough to go to church. And they learned the values of God's word. And they wanted a family so bad that they were discreet in who they married. And they married somebody that wanted the same things that they wanted. They didn't get caught up in how wonderful the person looked. They put their emphasis on the right things. And they made good judgment calls throughout their life, and God helped them do it. They started with inspiration, and as they endeavored, just like we always preach, they believed the word. They received the word. It was dear to them. It was valuable to them. See, God's word is not always valuable to people. But they value God's word, so they received it. And then they spoke it. They put a demand on their life. They put the demand of God on their life. They spoke the blessings of God over their lives. So they received God's better. And they lived in God's better. And when their faith was finished,
they had new vision. So they took the same steps in other areas, and they end up receiving God's best. And that's God's desire towards all men and women. You don't have to settle for darkness. Any form of darkness, you can drive it out of your life at your will, and God will help you do it. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And if you're bearing fruit, remember, He will purge you that you bear more fruit. In other words, you're receiving the word of God in your heart. The only reason you'll need to be purged is what I just said. You have to drive out the darkness, the dark perceptions, the dark enthusiasms, the dark goals. They need to be purged away, and the Holy Spirit will help you do it. You already desire, if you love God, you want to do it. You have a strong desire to do it. And then the Holy Spirit's going to give you the wisdom, and you will do it. And then guess what? You bear more fruit. Now the Lord trains, He will train us for the anointing. And sometimes my training helps me purge out things that shouldn't be. And then the anointing increases. I'm not saying these things at a whim. These things are things I learned straight from the Holy Spirit and holy men and women of God. And I thank God for all of them. I surround myself with people who love God. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He continues to move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you, God loves you, and Jesus truly is our Lord.